How it's going to come out, I don't know yet. But Amos chapter 8. Yep, Amos chapter 8. But God sometimes does that. He'll take and he'll give me a message, and I'll take and I'll start going one way on it, and then he takes me another way on it, and then all of a sudden we meet kind of in the middle. And so today it's going to be kind of that way. I've got some scripture that I want to look at, and we're going to take and see a little bit about what I believe God has for us, not only in time past, but in the present time and in the future time. And sometimes people say, well, you preach an awful lot out of the Old Testament. Yes, I do. But there's 66 books in the Bible, and there's more books in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament. So guess what? I preach more out of the Old Testament than I do the New. I mean, that's just the reason I do it. But in Amos chapter 8, starting at verse number 11, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of a thirst for water, but of the hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even unto the east. They shall turn to and fro, and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgin and the young men faint for thirst. For they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fail and never rise up again." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us in all that we do and say. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to get something out of this message today. I know it's a message that you wanted me to share, and I just pray now that you'd take and help me to give it in the way that you'd have it. And we'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to give you a little background of the book of Amos for just a minute. Amos was not a prophet. He was not a prophet's son. Amos was a sheep herder. He herded sheep. That's what he did. He worked for his dad, and his dad would pay him, and so on and so forth. Then God came to Amos and called him to tell something to the children of Israel. Now, as we recall, Israel was a northern nation. There was two nations at the time. There was Israel, they were to the north, and he had Judah to the south. Now, he called Amos to speak directly to the children of Israel. Now, you can say to me, well, okay, that is for, what we read this morning is for the people of Israel. And you're absolutely right. However, you're also absolutely wrong. That goes for all of us. Because if you take and you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, in 17, it says this. It says, all Scripture. Does that mean just part of it? No. That means all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for reproof, and so on and so forth. What we need to realize is this, is that all Scripture that we have, I'm sorry, that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, what I'm getting at is this, is that it doesn't make any difference if it's Old Testament or if it's New Testament. All Scripture is given for our benefit. And I believe that there's stuff in the Old Testament that is also talking about things that are going to happen in the future. Now, Amos lived in the same time period as Isaiah. He lived in the same time period as Hosea. He lived in the same time period as some of the other prophets that were prophesying to Judah. But he was sent to the children of Israel to prophesy. Now, when he was prophesying, gloom and doom for the children of Israel because of the sins that they were committing. Now, as I was going through this a little bit, I got to think, well, you know, what has that got for us today? And then I was reading in the book of, this is where I got 1 Timothy. Turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 3 for just a minute. Whoop. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 3, yeah. But I got to thinking about that, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, is this for us today, or... Anyway, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we find in verse 15, it says, without covetousness, great in the mystery of godliness, God was manifested in flesh, justified in spirit, seen by angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. Now, what we realize is that Jesus was seen by all kinds of people. He preached to everybody. He preached to the Gentiles. He preached also to the Jews. But he mainly preached to the Jews. And what does Paul say? He says, you know, Jesus, when he was here on earth, preached to all people. He was the one who gave the gospel message. After all, when he talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, what did he say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And as he went down through chapter 3, you come across John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now, what we need to realize is that Jesus came into the world to preach the gospel message. Then he ordained the disciples to do the same thing. And they went out and they started churches all over. Now, what has happened between then and now? A lot. There is a lot of things that have happened between the time period that they started all these churches and did not. Turn your Bible, or as long as you're in 1 Timothy, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to look at chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. It says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering the doctrine. Now, I want you to realize that Paul is telling Peter to do what? Preach the gospel. Isn't that what Jesus told the disciples? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They were to go out and preach the gospel. Isn't that God's command? Go out and preach the gospel? This is my introduction, by the way. I haven't even got in the message yet. But we are told to go and preach the gospel message. Now, let's keep going. In chapter 4, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what? Babel. Listen. This was predicted all the way back in the time of Timothy. Paul said to him, he says, I want you to do something, Timothy. I want you to go out. I want you to preach the gospel message. I want you to be all in or all out. I want you to preach the stuff. Not only did he tell Timothy that, but he told the churches that. He told everybody the same thing. You need to preach. Because why? There's going to come a time there's going to come a time when all of a sudden people are not going to want to listen to sound doctrine. People are not going to want to listen to the Word of God preached anymore. Are we in that time period right now? I have news for you. It's gone. That time period is gone. And I'm going to tell you why. This last week, I went to a meeting in Phoenix. And there was a man there. He's a works with marketing. And he gave some statistics. And it didn't really shock me that much, but the statistics he gave us were, you know, kind of different. But anyway, he works at the Catholic Diocese in Chicago and in Indianapolis. So he pretty much is in the know for the Catholic Church, so to speak. But anyway, he was given these statistics. He said that the people who were born between 1928 and 1945, 92% of all of them believed in God. 92% believed in God. Those who were born in 1946 to 1964, there was still 90% who believed in God. Wow. 1964 to 1980, that 90% went down to 80%. Why did it go down that far? Because the people who were born in 28 to 45 were starting to die off. The new generation, the millennial generation coming up, didn't believe in God. Why? Because they were no longer taught God in public schools. Period. Where's 90% of the education coming from our children today in their school systems? They're not getting it home. Guarantee it. They are not getting it at home. They're not being taught anything at home. Nothing. Zero. 65 to 1980. Then we got 1981 to 1989. Less than 72% of people believed there was a God. The people born between 1990 and 1996 was below 70%. And much of that was the older people who were dying off. Now, the same poll was taken of who believed that this was the Word of God. The 28 to 1945, 90% of the people believed that the Bible was the Word of God, inspired Word of God. The 46 to 64, there was only 75% that believed that the Bible was the Word of God. The next generation from 65 to 80, 60% believed the Bible was the Word of God. The next generation from 81 to 89, 55% believed that the Bible was the inspired Word of God. The 90 to 96 group, less than 50% believed that the Bible was the Word of God. Now, this study was done in 2014. This is 2018, 4 years later. I wonder where those figures would be today. You know, what we need to realize is the days that Paul was talking to Timothy about are past. And I want to explain why. He says, "For the day will come when they which will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now that time period is gone. And I'll tell you when that time period was. That time period was from 1964 until 1995. That time period. And you're saying, why was it that time period? Because that was the time period when the TV evangelist came on the TV and preached, give me money, 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 give me money. And all of a sudden, people were doing that. They were giving all their money to these TV evangelists. And guess what? The churches started suffering financially. All of a sudden, people said, well, I can get what I want by watching the TV. Why should I go to church? Amen? That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. You may sit there and go, oh, no, it's not. I'm in church today. Yeah, you are, but where's everybody else? People didn't feel that they needed to be in church to hear the gospel message preached. Well, this guy went on. He says, from 2000 on, he says, we get into a new generation of people. A new generation of people. I just want to take a quick poll in here. How many of you ever used Google search? Shame on you! No, I'm just kidding. The new generation that comes up, and I can ask any of our teenagers, they would rather do their homework at home than to do their work here in the school. Especially English and word building. You know why? Word building, they're supposed to go to the dictionary and look up the definitions of the words and write the definitions down. Now, they just go, hey Siri, what does such and such word mean? Boom, there it is. Gives you nouns, gives you your verbs, gives you how it's used and everything else. And they didn't think I knew that. He said that almost 90% of the school children today use this as their number one source of information. 15 years ago, it was not uncommon to have students come into my office and ask me questions about the Word of God. They would ask me different things about the Bible. Even up to the last, maybe 5 years ago, that was still happening from time to time. And then all of a sudden it stopped, and I'm thinking to myself, why is it kids no longer want to come into the preacher and ask him questions about the Bible? Hey Siri, who was Adam and Eve? No, that's fine. Huh! However, there's a problem with this. And the problem is that there's false teaching on here. Believe it or not, kids are getting false information from the internet about their theological questions, about why things are happening the way they are. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, there is a group of people who would love to brainwash our kids into thinking there is no God. Who want to brainwash our kids thinking that this book is not really true. And they, believe it or not, are putting things in Siri's mind that is not true. And guess what? Siri doesn't know the difference. She has no feelings. I look at this and I think to myself, man alive. This stuff is really happening. I can remember evangelists when I was growing up were preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching hard the Word of God. And they go, you gotta get this now! Because someday you'll no longer have it. And I'm going, what are you talking about? We'll always have the Bible. Right? Let me tell you another statistic. 25 years is all. I've been in this church 20 years. 5 years prior to this, there was a study done. And this was a study. How many households in America had a Bible? Didn't necessarily have to be King James, just a Bible. Of that, 96% said they did. Last year, 2017, the same study was done, and less than 40% said they had a Bible, the Word of God, in their house, anywhere in the house. I mean, a lot of them don't even have dust on them that thick anymore because they don't read them. Went to a house one time, and I told you the lady's name, you know who it was. But went in, and I knocked on the door, and I said, hey, I said, I'm from Florence Baptist Church. I'm inviting people to church. And some real colorful words, she told me that she wasn't really interested. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you were to die, where would you go to spend eternity? She looked at me, and she says, what difference does it make to you? I said, well, I don't want anybody going to hell. But, she goes, well, I'm not sure. I said, well, have you got a Bible? She goes, yeah. She brought me this family Bible. Remember the family Bibles? They're about this wide and about that long. You know what I mean? Yeah, about that thick. And I said, and I'm not exaggerating. There was at least a half to three quarters of an inch of dust on top of it. And I said to her, I said, oh, you read that quite often, don't you? And she looked at me and she says, and what difference does it make to you? I said, well, let me show you some things in here. She says, you can't interpret that. I said, why not? She said, because you're not a priest. I said, I am too. She goes, you are? I said, yeah. I said, here. So I took her through the Romans Road, took her to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, read it. So she did. I said, what does it mean? She goes, we've all sinned. I said, you mean to tell me you're a sinner? She goes, well, yeah. I said, wow. I said, you said your name was Father who? She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you said only the priest could interpret the Bible. And I said, you interpreted it. Took her to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I said to her, I said, what does that say? She said, well, we're going to die. I said, why? She says, because we're sinners. I said, you said your name was Father who? I said, you just interpreted two verses, and you're not a priest. Shame on you. She goes, well, do you got any more? So I took her to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what does that mean? She says, God loved us so much He gave Jesus to die on the cross. I said to her, I said, your name was Father who? She looked at me and she says, "Have you got another one?" I said, "I just happen to have one." So I took her to Romans 10:13. I said, "What does that say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I said, "What does that mean?" She says, "All we have to do is ask for salvation." I said, "Is that what it says?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Your name is Father who?" I looked at her and I said, "Wouldn't you like to know that you're on your way to heaven?" And she started crying uncontrollably. And I said to her, I said, "What's going on?" She says, "You have to forgive me. I've never cried in front of a man in my entire life." She said, "I don't know why I'm even crying." I said, "The Holy Spirit wanting to come in. You're trying to fight him." She bowed her head and got saved right there. You know, that's what we need. That's what we have to do. We have to preach the gospel message to everybody we come in contact with. Because I'll tell you what, the time now is past when they're going to listen to sound doctrine being preached from the pulpit because they feel that this thing here can give them all their answers. The time that Paul is talking to Timothy about people going to take and listen to sound doctrine is gone. It's gone. You're saying to yourself, "Well, now what?" That's where the book of Amos comes in. Turn back to Amos chapter 8. Keep your finger in there, man. I want you to go to Revelation real quick. Revelation chapter 3. Keep your finger in Amos 8 because we're going to be there in just a second. I just happened to think of something else I wanted to say. I love saying things I don't really, you know. Revelation chapter 3. Starting at verse 14. It says, "Then unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am," what's that? "And increased with" what? "Goods. And have need of" what? "And knowing not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that shine of thy nakedness, and do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye slave, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." John is writing to the church of Laodicea. Jesus is telling him what to write because he's writing to seven churches. The church of Laodicea was the last church that he wrote to. There's many commentators that feel that there's a timeline of the churches, of the seven churches, and the last church is the church of Laodicea. And the reason the last church was of Laodicea is that Jesus wanted us to realize that in this church age that we're in now, The last church that there would be the church of Laodicea. Now, I don't really agree with 100% with what they believe, but with that said, I want you to look at what John says the church is going to be. It's going to be rich. It's not going to have any need. The church as a whole is not going to have to do a lot of anything because the needs are met. The church is comfortable in what they have. Now, I'm not talking necessarily of this church, and I want you to understand that. I'm talking of churches of a whole throughout the world. Brother Mike and I, we've talked in length about this. And if you take and you look at the churches in the world right now, you see a huge downtrend of people going to church. The churches are starting to struggle dearly because of the amount of people who no longer attend church because of their smartphones. They can get on the smartphone. Oh, hey, there's so-and-so. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jolting, yeah. Anyway, what we need to realize is this. The churches as we know it today may not be here in another 25 years. Ooh. Why? Because of the church of Laodicea. Because of what John told the church of Laodicea. He says, unless you take a turn from what you're doing and you get back to what you used to do, the church is going to be gone. This guy gave these statistics. The Catholic Church in the last 20 years, the time that I've been here, the total attendance of the Catholic Church has went down 40% worldwide. 40%! He said, yeah, there are countries that it's going up, but most countries it's all going down. I'm thinking to myself, wow, I thought he was talking about the Baptist churches. The same thing is happening with the Lutheran. The same thing is happening with the Presbyterian. The same thing is happening with the Charismatics. The same thing is happening with the Baptist. Oh, there's pockets of places where the churches are still surviving and still growing. But they're starting to lose people as fast as they're bringing them in, or faster. Why? Because of technology. You're saying, well, technology is good. No, technology isn't good. Technology is not always good. And you're saying, well, you're just a preacher and you want to get people in here so you got money so you can pay the bill. That's fine, but it's the preaching of the Word of God that moves the Spirit that we are edified or built up. Let's go back to Amos, then I'll be done. This day is approaching quickly, and I want you to understand that. I'm going to read it again. Verse 11, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even unto the east. They shall run to and fro, seek the word of the Lord, and shall what? Why aren't they able to find it? Oh, I don't have an internet connection. It keeps buffeting. They're seeking the Word of God and cannot find it. Why? I'm going to give you two reasons. Number one, across the nation, our Bible colleges are seeing less and less men graduate and go into the ministry. There was a statistic given out just recently by Dr. Wilkinson. He's the chancellor of Hiles Anderson College. And this is what the statistic was. He said 20 years ago, we were graduating on the average of 35 to 40 preachers a year. 35 to 40 preachers a year was coming out of Hiles Anderson College. Of that, he says, every one of them except five are still in the ministry. Four went home to be with the Lord. He says, this year, this graduating class this year, we have less than eight. West Coast Baptist Bible College over in California. Dr. Chappell sent out a plea just a while back to churches to send their kids that are interested in becoming preachers because of the lack of college students going into the ministry. Texas Baptist College, Dr. Bob Gray. When Dr. Bob Gray Jr. was the chancellor of the school, they were graduating 25 to 30 preachers a year. Good soul-winning preachers. This year they have five. What's happening? Our youth no longer want to be preachers. Why? Because they can't afford to feed their family. Why? Because church attendance is going down. As church attendance goes down, guess what? Finances go down. As finances go down, all of a sudden, guess what? You can no longer pay the preacher. What we need to realize is this, folks. We are coming very close to the time of Amos. The number one thing is there's no longer going to be any preachers. The second thing is this. This book will no longer be recognized as the Word of God. This book will no longer be recognized by our youth as the inspired, infallible Word of an Almighty God. When that happens, and it's happening very quickly, when it happens, there's going to be a famine. There's going to be a famine of the preaching of God's Word in this nation and around the world, because people no longer want to know who God is. Sad, isn't it? Think all the way back in the time of Amos. God gave Amos those words. He says, I want you to realize something. He says, there's going to be a time when I'm going to bring a famine. There's going to be a time when people are going to search for the Word of God and they don't have any idea where they can find it. My words are going to return void unto them. You may say, well, when's that all going to happen? Could be today. Could be today. Think about it. When the rapture comes, what happens to the preachers? They're gone. What's going to happen to all you ones who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You're gone. Now, all of a sudden, here we have somebody come in here and they're searching for the Word of God. They can't find it. Why? Because we're all gone. Day's coming fast. Could be today. Could be today. Everything's lined up. The one world government is all lined up. The one world currency is all lined up. I believe that the false prophet is already in the world. I believe that the Antichrist is already in the world. I'm just waiting. Because it's going to come fast. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, we're going to be gone. We're not going to have time to even think. We're going to be gone. Listen, this time's coming quickly. It's coming quickly. And we need to be ready. You're going, oh, preacher, you're just such an old fuddy-duddy. Yeah, I am. But I believe God's Word. I do. How long has the smartphone been around? How many of you can remember the dial telephones? How many of you can remember the crank telephones? You know, it's really funny. You talk to teenagers in school and stuff, and you talk about sitting in front of a black and white television. Evelyn and I, we were talking about that when she was in the hospital that one day, and we were talking about black and white TVs. She goes, yeah. She says, we used to have an oval one. I said, yeah, so did we. And you sit in front of it, and then they came out with this, I don't know what it was, piece of paper, a different color paper you could put on there, and it would look almost like color, but it wasn't color, you know what I mean? But, I mean, I can remember that. I can remember we had three rings on our phone. If you answered it two rings, somebody else is going to answer it. We were on a party line. There were seven people on our party line, and my dad had a business. Everybody knew our business. I mean, it was unbelievable. You talk to kids about that today and they go, huh? Man. It's only been within the last 100 years that technology is where it is today. Why was it God didn't let technology come in the previous 100 years or the previous 100 years or the previous 100 years? Because he was not ready yet then for everything to be gone. Everything's lined up. Everything is perfectly lined up for the rapture to happen at any time. And I guarantee that there's going to be a famine in the land. People are going to search to and fro. They're going to go from church to church to church to church, trying to find the truth. And they won't be able to find it. Wow. It's going to be too sad. It's going to be a sad day. Too many people are too busy on their phones to take and read God's Word and find out what's going to happen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love.